I just like to be a little closer to y'all, that's all. So, all right. Well, let's turn to God's Word tonight for just a few moments. There we go. Operator error. We're going to look tonight at a very familiar story that Jesus told. It's known as the parable of the sower. You know, the scattering of the seed and the different soils and so on like that. Now, Jesus was a teacher, and he loved to tell stories to teach and make his points. And usually when he tells these stories, he has one main point that he's driving at that he wants us to understand. And so I'm going to give it away right here at the very beginning, right at the top, the main point that Jesus is driving at. In this story that Jesus tells tonight, in this parable, this story is about growth. The story is about growth. And of course, growth is God's desire for his kingdom. Growth, I'm here to tell you tonight, is God's desire for all of you. He wants you to grow. And growth is a normal sign of health. You know, when anything alive is healthy, it grows, right? It just does. And there's something amazing about growth. I remember when we took our first child home from the hospital. This is years ago, but of course I still remember it. We all do, right? I was just struck by the amazing rate of his growth. You know, when we took him home, just this little bundle, right? He weighed about 7 pounds. And then he ate and ate and ate in unbelievable quantities. And by the time he was one, he weighed about a little bit more than 20 pounds, almost 21 pounds. He had tripled his weight in 1 year. And so I figured it out. If he kept tripling his weight every year, by the time he was five, he'd weigh 567 pounds. Man, that's growth. It's amazing, right? We love to see our kids grow and develop, don't we? Remember just, you know, about that 1 year birthday and, you know, and they start to take those first steps on their own. Remember that? And all the adults are on the ground cheering and celebrating as if no other human being had ever walked upright before. And the child goes, oh, you know, and the child wants to grow too, right? I want to get big. I want to grow. And that's God's desire for all of us. The real desire and the heart of a parent who loves a child is for growth. Growth is a normal sign of a healthy life, obviously physically, but in other ways too. You know, as long as we're alive, if we're healthy, we're gaining new skills, we're mastering new tasks, growth is just a sign of life. It's a normal condition. Listen, when you stop growing, you start dying. When you stop growing, you start dying. And there's no greater tragedy than stagnation. Some of you might know about this because you work in this area and so on, but there is actually a medical a diagnosis for a baby that is not growing and developing properly, and it goes by the letters FTT. Anybody know? Failure to thrive. Okay, some of you know. All right. Failure to thrive. Failure to thrive. See, thriving is normal. Thriving is what human beings were born to do. And when it doesn't happen, doctors will find that those barriers to growth, right? Whether it's nutrition or neglect or disease, and remove those barriers so that the child can grow and thrive. And this is true in our spiritual lives too. God wants you to grow. God wants you to be able to love somebody tomorrow that you couldn't love yesterday. God wants you to find that sin has less and less hold on you. It just doesn't look good to you anymore because it's not. God wants you to be able to share your faith with greater boldness and effectiveness because it's just part of you. And it just flows out of you. God's desire for you is that you pray more deeply, that you speak more truly, that you rejoice more fervently, and forgive more freely with every passing year of your life, so that by the time you shuffle off this planet, people can look at you and say, now there was a man or a woman who walked with God. See, that's what life can be. And Jesus longs for us to grow and thrive. And so tonight, we need to just talk for a few minutes about some of these barriers to growth. You know, is your growth stymied by anger or fear? Is your hope suffocated by doubt? Is your heart made small by sin? See, Jesus saw people like that. FTT, failure to thrive. And Jesus wanted people in his day to grow and thrive, and he wants that for us too. So as always, Jesus tells a story to make his point about growth. So the text tonight is from Matthew. Where'd it go? Did I lose it? Oh, there it is. It's back. Jesus tells a story in Matthew 13, so I want to just invite you to stand and for the reading of God's word tonight, just to receive it, and let's honor him in the reading of this word. So Matthew 13, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And then we skip down to verse 18, where Jesus explains the story. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And this is the word of the Lord tonight. You can sit down. So in this story that Jesus tells, we see three elements, right? This is a story about seeds, sower, and soil. And this was one of those parables where when you look at the elements and you kind of look for, you know, which ones change? What are the variables in this story? And then which one doesn't change? Because when you find the one that doesn't change, you've located the point that Jesus is driving at that he wants to make. And here it's seed, sower, and soil. And in this story, the seeds don't change. Right? This is not a story about good seeds and bad seeds, right? The seed, the word of God, the word of the kingdom, the good news stays the same, and it will always produce fruit if you just give it half a chance. And in this story, the sower doesn't change, right? It's not a story about good sowers and bad sowers. In fact, the thing that you notice here about the sower is just how generous he is with his seed, right? He scatters it everywhere, all over the place. What's the variable? Which one changes here? Well, it's the soil, right? The soil. And the soil here represents your life, your heart. It represents us as human beings. You can just replace the word soil with your heart, with your life. See, growth is normal. It's a gift that comes from God. We can't make it happen or force it happen, but there are barriers that can prevent it, right? And so let's just think for a few moments tonight about the growth that God wants for us. Do a little bit, I guess, personal soil analysis, your own heart, and think about, are there barriers to growth there? You know, are there some things that maybe need to change so that I can thrive and become more the person that God wants me to be? Let's just walk through the different kinds of soil and do a little bit of personal analysis. All right? Here we go. Jesus said, first of all, some of the seed falls on the path. Now, of course, people walk on the path. Animals walk on the path, right? The path is hard and dry. And when a seed falls on hard, dry ground, it really doesn't have a chance to grow, right? And so I think what Jesus is saying here is that growth requires soil that is soft. Growth requires soil that is soft. And so you can just replace the word soil with your heart. And Jesus, you know, he understands how it is with people. There are many people who become hard in their heart towards God and his word. You know, maybe some of these people have been hurt, and so they kind of form a protective coat. Maybe they become cynical or bitter. And Jesus says that the evil one comes along and snatches the seed away. And so we need to do just a little bit of soil analysis and just ask yourself, is my heart soft? Is my heart tender and open towards God? Is it receptive or is it hard? You know, and the truth of the matter is that sometimes we get these hard hearts, don't we? We just kind of harden up, and maybe some of you are in that condition right now, tonight. You're just a little bit resistant and skeptical sometimes, and God is tugging at you right now. You know, some of you have a hard spot in your heart because of a relationship. You know, maybe you've been hurt by somebody and you're holding on to bitterness and resentment. Will you ask God to make you tender and to bring peace and reconciliation? You know, some of you have been disappointed. You know, a dream has been dashed, a hope has not been realized, and so you deal with disappointment by becoming cynical, and you tend to believe the worst about folks, or you don't have much gratitude, or maybe you just end up just complaining a lot because of your hard heart. You have soil that needs to be broken up, that must be plowed, that must be softened. Now, I don't know, but my guess is that if soil had feelings, it would not like this plowing business very much at all. I think if you were to ask soil, hey, soil, would you like to be plowed? How about some plowing today? I think the soil would probably say, no, thank you. I'll take a pass on the plowing thing. Because plowing hurts. But friends, it's not the worst pain. I'll tell you what the worst pain is. The worst pain is to remain hard and barren and empty and never bear fruit at all. That's the worst pain. And there's good news for hard soil. Because when it comes to a seed, all it takes is one little opening. Just give the seed a crack, right? And the seed is very strong. I mean, we've all seen, you know, a sidewalk and a little blade of something is forcing itself up through a concrete sidewalk, right? The seed, the word of God is powerful beyond imagining. I mean, there can be enormous hardness, but if you just give it one little opening, and some of you might have that hardness tonight, I don't know. And God is waiting for you just to give him a little opening, just a word of prayer. God, whatever you need to do, I want you to plow up the hardness of my heart. God, so please do it. God, I want to be tender-hearted towards you. I want to be gracious and compassionate to my spouse, to my kids, to my grandkids, to my colleagues. I mean, you say that prayer, and God will begin to soften hard soil. Because if there's going to be growth, the soil has to be soft. And then Jesus said that some of the seed fell on the rocky places where there wasn't much soil. Now, people understood all about this business of rocky ground and shallow soil, because in Israel, it's just a land full of rocks and stones, and they're everywhere. And so as soon as the seed goes down and hits the dirt, it's just shallow and it hits the rock, and there's no opportunity for it to spread or flourish at all. And so I think what Jesus is saying here when it comes to growth is that growth requires soil that is deep. Growth requires soil that is deep. So just a little soil analysis, a look at your own heart. Is your faith putting down deep roots, deep devotion? Is it? Richard Foster is a well-known writer about spiritual life and spiritual growth, and this is what he says. He says, superficiality is the curse of this age. He says, it's a shallow world. Shallow relationships, superficial conversations, hurried moments of prayer, too much TV, superficial commitments. And he says, this characterizes people's lives, even in the church. Even in the church. Just a shallow commitment to church, to worship, to service, to ministry, to participation in the mission of God and all that kind of thing. It's just kind of a surface thing that many people had. I just remind you that back in Jesus' day, in the Jewish community, they read Scripture. It was the Old Testament, of course, but they read Scripture. They memorized Scripture. They repeated it every day over and over and over, putting down deep roots. In some cases, get this, some of the top rabbis and disciples and students of those rabbis had the entire Pentateuch memorized. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Memorized. Does it give you something to shoot for? Okay. Deep roots, deep devotion. We can appear on the surface to be fine, but sometimes it's just a facade, isn't it? Trouble hits, somebody is asked to do something, something is demanded of them, and then they discover all of a sudden that the roots don't go deep enough to sustain life. And this is very common in our world, just a lack of commitment. When things are easy, I do okay. When things get difficult, I bail. Change jobs, change marriage partners, change churches. Roots require time and endurance. So let me just ask you tonight, what kind of depth is there in your life and faith and relationship with God? Do you have deep conversations with other people about spiritual matters and things like that? Do you? When somebody confronts you with maybe a hard truth about yourself, something that maybe needs to change and it's not honoring God, how do you respond? Do you defend and stiffen up and do all that kind of thing? Is there depth in your life and walk with Jesus? When's the last time you had a deep conversation, a deep, unhurried time of prayer with God where you just expressed your joys, your petitions, your gratitude to God? I mean, I hope you make a commitment to do that on a regular basis. I mean, just think how it must feel to God, the sower, to sow seed that doesn't bear any fruit ever. Say to God, God, I want to have deep roots in you that can be sustained over a long time. So, Jesus wants us to grow and thrive and develop. And he says if that's going to happen, it requires a heart and a soil that is soft. It requires soil that is deep. And then he talks about a third kind of soil here. He says some seed fell among the weeds and the thorns. Now, farmers and so on, they know all about weeds, right? You know all about weeds. And here, the soil is soft enough and deep enough to sustain growth. The problem is clutter. It's just clutter. The problem is that the soil is wasting its life and nutrients on the weeds. And the weeds and the seed just gets choked out by competition. It's not bad soil. It's just cluttered soil. So, question here. Anybody here have any clutter in their lives? I don't mean in your bedroom closet. Maybe you'd have that there. But do you have any clutter in your life? Now, clutter sounds like such a small nuisance, doesn't it? But I want to suggest that in some ways, this is the most dangerous soil condition of all, because it's so subtle. I mean, your life is not necessarily cluttered with bad things. I mean, it doesn't seem to be terrible. I mean, if you're in this condition, you're able to say, you know, my heart's not hard toward God. You know, I'm not defiant or rebellious. It's not like my life is deliberately superficial or anything. It's just clutter. But Jesus says this is a deadly enemy, and it can choke the spiritual energy right out of you, and it can drain you of purpose. So even though you're not deliberately hard or shallow, it can lead to the same end result: no spiritual life, failure to thrive. Now, if you listen to Jesus here analyze this soil condition, he's so wise. He says that clutter involves things like the cares of this world. Did you hear him? You know, just the cares of this world. What might happen? What'll I do? What will go wrong? What'll I wear? What'll I say? What will people think about me? A mind just cluttered with the cares of this world. And then he talks about the lure of wealth. Well, I guess that was a problem back then, not really a problem today, so we don't have to, no. The lure of wealth. I mean, this is something I think that's all over in our culture. There are so many distractions, so many invitations. I mean, did you watch the commercials at the Super Bowl last Sunday? Right? Just unbelievable amount of money spent on these commercials to entice you and encourage you to buy their product. Buy me, drive me, put me in your hair, and you will be happy and satisfied and fulfilled and joyful. And it's just, we are bombarded day after day after day with all of these distractions. And Jesus said, you know what? It can just add up to a bunch of clutter. It just can. And Jesus says, where there is clutter, all you will ever have is a weed patch. And some of you need to do some weeding. See, here's the thing about weeds. Rarely do weeds just go away on their own. Not very often do weeds say, well, you know, we've been in this yard long enough. Let's go to somebody else's yard. In fact, they spread and they invite friend weeds to come over and have little baby weeds. And pretty soon the weeds have taken over the whole thing. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? Because it's happened. This is just the way clutter works. It's so subtle. I mean, not bad things, not awful things, right? Just have more, get more, and so on. And some of you need to do some weeding. I mean, maybe you're working too many hours. It's taking up your time. It's cluttering your life, and it's preventing you from really loving your family and investing in your family the way you should. Maybe your kids are signed up for way too many activities. I don't know. And you just need to find some space for solitude and family time. Will you remove clutter from your life? Will you get serious about weeding? Because it'll lead to failure to thrive otherwise. So hard heart, shallow faith, cluttered lives, they choke the spiritual vitality right out of us. But, Jesus says, where the soil is soft And where the soil is deep and where the soil is uncluttered, watch out, because you won't believe what'll happen. If your heart is tender towards God and your devotion is deep and your life is rooted and it's uncluttered, then your growth is just unstoppable. It's unstoppable. It just is. And you're going to thrive. I mean, people in Jesus' day knew what a good harvest looked like, you know, and the harvest that Jesus describes here is just unbelievable. You know, often in Jesus' stories, he'll actually use exaggeration, you know, to picture the abundance and the richness of the kingdom of God. And that's what he does here, right? Although this is not just a good harvest, you know, double, triple, notice 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. It's beyond people's ability to imagine. And the point that he's making is that the fruitfulness that God desires for his kingdom and for his people is beyond human comprehension or ability. Jesus wants us to grow. I mean, grow like crazy into the image of Christ Jesus so that we can reflect his character in our marriages, in our families, with our children, at the job site. Just imagine what would happen if you became that kind of person. What would happen in your family, in your marriage, at your job? Jesus wants us to grow. But here's the thing. This is not just a personal thing, a private thing, like, oh, good, I'm going to grow and I'm going to do all this. Jesus wants us to be active participants in the work of his kingdom. He says, I want you to grow up and be like me, and then I want you to go out and serve people the way I did in ministry. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In fact, one of the reasons that Jesus told the story was to encourage his followers in that direction. Because we, you and I, you know, we're not just soil. We are also called to be sowers. And we are given the privilege of sowing seed, the seed of the kingdom, the seed of the word, the good news of God. And Jesus knew how that would go for his disciples and for us. And part of what he's saying here to us is, just know this ahead of time, everybody. When you sow seed, sometimes it's going to fall on unresponsive soil. Often it will fall where the soil is hard or where it's shallow and it'll look good for a little while and then it will disappear, or where there's clutter and it will spring up but then get choked out. And Jesus said, often this is going to happen as you're sowing seed in ministry, in life, in service. This is going to happen. And Jesus said, you're going to be tempted to want to give up. Well, Jesus said, don't do it. Don't you do it, because the harvest is coming. Because sometimes conditions are right. And when that happens, watch out. It's unbelievable. We want to be like the sower in Jesus' story, just throwing seed everywhere, on every person, everywhere we go. It's just coming out of our life. I love to teach this story with my college students, and I usually say something like this at this point. I said, students, because they're going into ministry and they're going into, you know, church-related vocations and so on. And I'll say, students, I give you permission to be promiscuous. And they all look at me like, oh, I don't think my mom and dad should really know about that. No, I give you permission to be promiscuous. That is, as you scatter seed and sow the gospel and proclaim that everywhere and serve in ministry, just be promiscuous and throw it everywhere on everybody, just indiscriminately, wherever you go, on every single person. And some of you have done that, haven't you? You've worked, you've prayed, you sweat, you asked. Unfortunately, you didn't get the results that you were hoping and praying for, right? The person you prayed for, it's not working. The child that you want to see come back to faith, and it's not happening. or that colleague at work that you prayed for and invited doesn't seem to make a dent. It's not going anywhere. And you're tempted to say, well, you know, I guess I must have done something wrong, or God's not fulfilling his part of the deal, or the system doesn't really work right. You know, Jesus said, just expect it. Expect it, friends. Sometimes there's hard soil or shallow soil or cluttered soil, and maybe it's going to be about a 3-to-1 ratio, like Jesus said in his story. Here's the deal. Jesus said, your job is to sow the seed. Be like the sower. Sow it everywhere. Just let the good news of the gospel be evident in your life wherever you go. Your job is not to make the growth happen. That's a miracle whenever it happens. And if you're tempted to get discouraged, just think about Jesus, about the sower, and all the failure that he experienced. I mean, he drew great crowds as he taught, but most of them melted away when he began to speak hard truth. In John chapter 6, it says, many of his disciples no longer followed him, and they just walked away. The religious leaders, who you think would be the most open to God, they were such bad soil that they're the ones that had him crucified. The disciples deserted him. His own family questioned him. The Roman soldiers washed their hands of him. The whole crowd taunted him. And you'd think he'd be wondering as he looked down from the cross, did any of this seed really take? I mean, was any of this at all worth doing? Is there ever going to be any growth from any of this? Or was this whole thing just a waste of time? You'd think he'd be wondering that as the crowd taunted and his disciples deserted. Remember, on the cross, there's that one thief who mocks him. Remember? Hey, save yourself and save us too. And then there's the other criminal. Remember? Wasted life, bad soil. But he turns to Jesus and he says, what? Jesus, will you just remember me? Would you remember me? And Jesus, on the final day of his life, with some of the last breaths that he would draw on this earth, thinks to himself, maybe this is good soil. And he throws down one more seed with some of his last breaths. The sower throws down one more seed, and then he dies. But of course, he didn't stay dead, because the tomb couldn't hold his life any more than the soil can keep the life of a seed underground. And Jesus understood all about this, because he was the wisest man that ever lived. And he said to his friends, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain of wheat, sterile and barren. But if it dies, it produces many seeds and it bears much fruit. And I'm telling you, the fruit is still growing and the harvest is not over yet. So don't get discouraged and don't quit sowing seed, because the sower's at work, God. And maybe it's the next one that's going to take root. It is. So I just want to encourage you. Yeah, grow. Think about your personal growth. That's a personal growth plan. But then don't stop there. Figure out, how does God want me to participate in his redemptive mission in this world? How can I do that at my job? How can I do that in my family? How can I reflect that in this community? And so I just want to encourage you to work and pray and give and serve. Build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's worth it. And you never know. The next one might take root. Let's pray. God, we just want to thank you so much for the life that you so lavishly fling to all corners of the earth, on every kind of soil, on every human being. Thank you for the life, God, that the ground could not hold. that keeps springing up. God, make it spring up in us, please. We ask it in Jesus' name.